This is episode 413, dated Monday, October 20th, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branko. Great to be here today. This is episode 413, dated Monday, October 20th, 2025. Allow me to introduce our spelunkers, as we call them, our sports panel members. We have with us thus far, Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon. Good evening. Mitch Pomerantz. Here from beautiful downtown Pasadena, where it's 81 and clear, and all's well with the world. The Dodgers are going to be in the World Series, and I barely survived, and I'm still in my survivor pool. So things are alive and well and good here in Pasadena.
Here in southern New England, we had a very powerful rain and windstorm this morning. Left a few floody areas here and there. It was a down deluge, big time. It has stopped, but we really got drenched this morning. Temperatures are about 60, 65-ish. Reverend Michael Garrett.
And welcome from Missouri City, Texas, where it is about 88 degrees, partly sunny skies. Very nice day, nice breeze out. But Bob, send us some of that rain.
I wish I had that kind of power. Okay, filling in for Peter Alcho, who is on his way to Mexico as we speak, we have Gene Johnson.
Good afternoon from Dayton, Ohio, where it's about 62 degrees outside.
Don Wardlow, are you here yet?
I am.
Hey, Don, what's going on?
In Jersey, where it's relatively cool. I'd like to know who Peter, who he paid so he could go to old Mexico. Man, that's something I wanted to do 30 years ago, but my wife outvoted me on that.
Luther King informed me that he will be here at about half past the hour, so when he arrives, I'm sure he will let us know. In the meantime, let me thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer, followed by Peter from Canada, not Peter Alchil, but Peter from Canada, who has a friendship chat service. He posts Sports Roundtable on one of his bulletin boards. Thank you very much, Peter. Also, the media outlets, thank you for airing us when you do. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions, who archives our shows on my website. In order to find them, go to www.brankoevents.com, arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcasts, click on them, and you will notice most of our archived programs from latest to earliest. And, of course, merci, Jackie. I want to say hi to Cindy, who is our facilitator. Thank you very, very much for helping us out today. We appreciate it. Herbie, thank you for streaming us. Hi, how are you doing today, Herbie? And because we are being streamed, let me give out our email address. It's bobbranko93@gmail.com. bobbranko93@gmail.com. Mitch, you must be very happy today. The Dodgers swept the Brewers and will now be awaiting the winner of the Mariners-Blue Jays series in order to be represented in the World Series.
Well, I am very pleased, and I've never been happier to be wrong in my life. I really have not trusted the Dodgers pitching all season. Granted that, they had so many injuries and all of that, but the six games that the Dodgers and Milwaukee played in July, Milwaukee ran rings around us. They made us look like a minor league team. They outpitched us, they outhit us, they outran us, they outdefended us. So I really did not think we were going to get past Milwaukee, but thankfully I was incorrect. Milwaukee, aside from the fact that our four starting pitchers finally got their act together, Milwaukee played scared. They were expanding the strike zone. It wasn't the same team that played during the season. But, you know, the Dodgers are going to be in the series. I hope it is Seattle because it will be best four out of seven will start here Friday if that's the case, because we had a better record than the Mariners. Toronto has had a better record during the season than we did. So I'm hoping for a Dodgers-Seattle series.
And, so maybe, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You talk about how during the season was a different team than during the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
The Dodgers are an experienced team. They've been to the playoffs, and everybody there is they. It's old hat to them, so to speak. Do you think that perhaps there was more pressure on Milwaukee when you get to the playoffs?
Oh, absolutely, because Milwaukee is a young team, and I think they have a really bright future. But I think what we saw with the Dodgers during the season is kind of what you see in the NBA, that a team says, we know we're going to make the playoffs, we know we're going to be there, we're not going to put all of our efforts into the regular season. We don't have to. We're going to win our 50 or 55 games, and we'll be, it doesn't even matter in the NBA if we're a number one or a number two seed, as long as we make it. And Andrew Friedman said several times during the season, the Dodgers president, that we're focusing on October. And to me, that sends a hidden message to the team, and that message is, we know you're going to not only make the playoffs, you're going to win the division, but focus on October and just play as well as you have to during the regular season. But that drives fans nuts, because we don't want the team to lose any games, and we want our teams to play as hard in May as they do in October. But, you know, Friedman, that's why to me he's the best president / general manager in baseball.
But, you know, Mitch, for a team to talk like that, to say we're going to play for October, they would have to be in a very comfortable position to begin with to be able to have that kind of flexibility to say something like that. Now, as we all know, San Diego was right there with the Dodgers this year. And if the Dodgers had relaxed a little bit more and only worried about October a little bit more, they might not be in first place.
You're absolutely right, although it's interesting. When we were kind of kicking around, and I don't know that I ever made prediction in March, I honestly didn't think the Padres would make the playoffs this year. Their pitching and their concerns and their health. I really thought, in fact, that it would be Arizona and San Francisco making it, and not the Padres. So, Friedman obviously knew what he was talking about, and the Dodgers played well enough to win the division. And did gear up for October, and that's where we are.
Well, their pitching was tremendous. I'm sorry, Michael. I was just going to tell Mitch that their pitching was tremendous. Snell pitched 8 innings in game 1. Yamamoto completed game 2. And then you had what Ohtani did later on, not to mention the fact that he had 3 home runs, struck out 10. First player ever to do it in history. And yes, I'm going to say what somebody else said on a sports radio program. Ohtani is the best baseball player ever.
Without any question. But yeah. The other thing that changed, and he'll be back as a starter next year, but Roki Sasaki was a shutdown, except for one game when he was a little shaky, but he was a shutdown closer. He's got a forkball. It's not a splitter because of the way he holds it. It's almost like the way for us old timers, Elroy Face threw his fork ball wedged way back between the first and second fingers. And Sasaki has that splitter or that fork ball, and he also has a 100-mile fastball, an hour fastball, and he just shut them down big time. And he'll be our stopper in the World Series, our late inning, eighth, ninth inning guy.
And what you got to hope, oh, Michael, you go.
Well, before you go get there, Don, I just wanted to say to Mitch, you know, it pained me, and you guys heard me all, because you heard us all season long. Mitch was pining about the pitching, the Dodgers pitching. It pained me because I could feel on the other side of the ledger was the Dodger hitting, but it pained me to say that you know I felt like that they were going to be okay, and I pointed out later on in the season that the Astros had similar situation with injuries to pitchers, but we had poor hitting at times where we just couldn't get, when we had good pitching, we had poor hitting. And then we would score, you know, 11 or 12 points in runs in the game, and only give up two or three, or we'd score 12 runs and give up seven. And I don't know, we just had that up and down season, and we couldn't hold on at the end. So the other thing is that I think that is going to then, you know, against whoever they play is their hitting.
Well, and I know you wanted to say something, Don, but you know, people and somebody pointed it out this morning on one of the sports talk shows before the game Friday. Ohtani in the playoffs, including the three series, all three series, was 3 for 29, and he struck out 16 times, some incredibly high number, and it was like he was maybe pressing, but all of a sudden something changed on Friday, but he was 3 for 29 before the last game. So I think a lot of us were, to coin the phrase, sweating bullets, trying to figure out what was going on with Shohei.
And you know, Mitch, I'm sure we both want the Mariners to get in there against the Dodgers, and I'd say it for two reasons. You probably want them in because Seattle has never, ever been in a World Series, and you're hoping they'll play scared the way Milwaukee did. Now, me, I want them in just because I do not want to see Toronto in the World Series. I want to see Seattle wipe out Toronto in Game 7 and have Cal Raleigh play some World Series ball and see what Raleigh does against Ohtani and Yamamoto and all those other guys, the Snell and Glasnow. I just want to see how far Cal Raleigh can carry the Mariners.
Well, the third reason, Don, is that we want the home field advantage. We want the series to start in L.A. on Friday, and I think it would be a great series, Ohtani versus Raleigh. Now, the last three games of the season, the Dodgers went up to Seattle and swept them, and Ohtani, I think, hit two home runs, and Raleigh didn't do anything.
No, I sure didn't. I know about that season.
I'd
love to hear Rick Riz do a World Series. Rick is a Hall of Famer and broadcaster. You know, he has the Frick Award under his belt. And he learned from the great Dave Niehaus. And Niehaus never got to a World Series. I'd love to see Rick Riz, you know, make it to the World Series. And believe me, those two clowns from Toronto, they're not getting in without a ticket, not to the Hall of Fame, not Ben Schulman and Chris LaRue, the Toronto radio guys.
By the way, Don, do you know, and I was a Dave Niehaus fan. Niehaus was in L.A. until the, I don't remember if he went to Seattle when the Pilots started, or if he came when the Mariners.
He was not with the Pilots. That was some Jimmy Dugan.
Okay, so Niehaus went up to Seattle when the Mariners became a team. But the first color man that Dave Niehaus had up there was a fellow that I particularly liked because he was a Dodger, but before that he was a UFC Trojan and a pretty decent first baseman by the name of Ron Fairley.
Yes, I have at least one game with Niehaus and Ron Fairley working it.
Yep.
Gene, what are your thoughts on the playoffs, Gene?
I'll be honest with you. I was really honestly kind of hoping that we weren't going to be seeing the Dodgers back in the World Series, to be honest with you. Nothing personal, Mitch. I mean.
Oh, I understand.
Because, I mean, really, honestly, this is kind of a slap in the face to all the other teams that basically, are just paying their players appropriately, if you ask me. A lot of the Midwestern teams and the teams that just can't afford it, I don't know. I would have loved to see a Mariners and Brewers game, to be honest with you, because then at least you'd know one team is going to win the World Series for the first time.
True enough. And you got to, the Dodgers, this is now 5 World Series out of the last 8. That they are going to be a part of. They were not in 2022 because that was the Phillies. 23
actually,
was the-
Don, it's 5-9 because our first one was in 17 against that infamous Houston one. Five out of nine.
Okay, so 5 out of 9. I know one was the Phillies, one was the D-backs, and one was the Bravos in 2021, and 19 was the Washington Nationals. See, right now, the fact that it is 5 out of 9, that is going to make some tongues wag and some eyebrows go up. It's going to get people saying, hey, this is not right. This, the way they spend money is not right, and they must have a salary cap or some way to prevent the Dodgers from doing what they're doing. Of course, nobody ever prevented the Yankees from winning 29
World Champions. I was just going to say, we are not in the same league as the Yankees. And what I'll say to you, Gene, this is a capitalist society, a capitalist country. There are lots and lots of multi-billionaires, and I'm sure there are some in the Midwest. And until and unless there's a salary cap and the players don't want it, and I don't think there'll ever be one, let the Guardians and the Reds and the other Midwestern teams find themselves a multi-billionaire who loves baseball as much as Mark Walters and the Guggenheim group love baseball.
Yeah.
So, Mitch, you don't think they're going to discuss the possibility of a salary cap during the next potential strike?
Absolutely, Bob. And as I've said on this podcast before, they'll talk about it. There will be a work stoppage, but ultimately there will not be a salary cap. The players are adamant that there will not be a salary cap in baseball.
But if the owners are just as adamant, we could lose baseball entirely.
Yep.
And that would be hideous.
That's possible. It would be very sad.
I mean, I would find a way to keep going. I have women's basketball. I do a lot of reading, but really, baseball has been in my blood since 1971.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's been in all of our blood.
It would be a terrible thing to lose.
I disagree with you guys. I don't think we'll lose it because, at the end of the day, those guys like the money, and maybe they won't get as much. But when you're making millions, you mean to tell me that you'd rather give up making millions of dollars just because of you can't have a salary cap?
Michael,
I think they'll make some kind of a compromise.
The Players Association, going back to Marvin Miller, they are as staunch on this topic as any union is on any topic. And you and I will have to make a friendly wager. I don't think that there'll be I don't think the whole season will be canceled, but I am absolutely certain there will not be a salary cap. Labor negotiation.
I think they'll come to some kind of an agreement where there they won't be a cap, but there'll be some sort of
luxury tax.
They want a floor, floor.
There absolutely should be a floor. The Pittsburgh Pirates and teams like that are a disgrace, and they should be purchased by an owner who cares about baseball along with making money and is willing to put a minimum amount of money into the team.
You're right. Paul Skeens on the Pirates deserves much better talent surrounding him, and Joe Block in their broadcast booth deserves a better product to call. So yes, somebody has got to do something to get the Pirates out of Davy Jones' locker.
Bob Prince would be so sad to see what's become of his Pirates.
Yes, he would, the Gunner, or even his predecessor, Rosie Rosewell.
So, Mitch, you had a concern or a frustration about Denver Broncos.
Oh, no. I'm in a Survivor pool. I have played Survivor for 7 or 8 years. I've actually won it a couple of times. It's a little investment, and not a serious one, but this year I think we had something like 90 participants. So the winner will get a nice chunk of change. And this week I picked the Broncos to be my Survivor choice. And after three quarters yesterday, the New York Giants made the Broncos look like the Miami Dolphins. And that comeback yesterday that Bo Nix arranged, they scored 33 points. They had four touchdowns, including two 2-point conversions. And then the field goal that Will Lutz kicked with 2 seconds left. And I survived by the skin of my teeth and the mustache on my upper lip. It was an amazing comeback.
Wow.
And if you didn't listen or watch the game, it was amazing. It was absolute. I had already put an L next to my selection this week with about 6 minutes to go in that game. I said, well, I'm out of Survivor this year. It was an amazing fourth quarter that the Broncos put together.
Bob, if I'm filling in for Pete, can we just talk about how terrible the Jets are playing? I mean, he always has a tendency to.
Yes, go right ahead, Gene. I want to hear about this. Yes.
This is getting really bad. I mean, 7 games. I mean, I don't know of a team that honestly has done as terrible as the Jets this year. And I mean, I'm not following them. I didn't even listen to the game because I just knew that it was going to be that bad. Didn't they play against the Chiefs?
I hope not, because they would have got
No.
But the Jets are doing what the Jets do. My brother-in-law, poor soul, is a dyed-in-the-wool Jets fan, and this is what they have done to him every year since 1970. And he's old enough to know
Carolina.
69.
Okay. Carolina beat them.
Yeah, they played Carolina.
Yeah.
And they're not even a great team.
They're better.
No,
they're
the Patriots
better than,
clobbered them recently.
They're on the rise. But for those Jets fans who might be listening, there was some good news this morning. It appears that they're going to bench Justin Fields.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was sort of a toss-up.
It sounds like he's leaning toward doing it, though.
Taylor or Fields. That's what I saw.
It sounds like he's leaning toward giving Fields a seat on the bench, as he should.
He yanked him.
How about the emergence? Back. How about the emergence of the Patriots? 5-2.
What about
number one in the AFC?
What about the record setting of Drake May?
Wow.
From what I hear, he's second in the MVP voting. I know it's early. I get that.
He's
the first quarterback to throw for 90%.
I was going to say he ties Tom Brady. That's some recognition right there.
He was 21 of 23.
Yeah.
And that's even with a not real superstar as a wide receiver. They've got some okay guys. They've got Stephon Diggs in the tail end of his career. They got a couple of guys emerging, but they really don't have any go-to receivers on that team.
Yeah, he threw for over 200 yards and added another 62 rushing yards. I mean, the guy, he was phenomenal yesterday.
Well, they're just building around him. And I think that, you know, the Patriots, look, I hate throwing around the word dynasty. I really do. I don't want to sit here and say that, you know, if they win this year that, you know, the dynasty's back, cause that's far from it. I think you got to at least win at least three games. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, I can't call Mahomes, you know, and the Chiefs really a dynasty, because they're not doing that well this year, in my opinion.
They won't lose another game this season. They are
really?
Back.
They've got a pretty soft schedule here.
Their receiving core may be the best in the NFL.
I don't know. But there's also a lot of, you know, conflict in that team too as well. How well can they play?
Where?
Oh, you mean, are you talking about Kansas City?
Yes.
What conflict?
There is conflict between the players. There's some players that don't like the whole Taylor Swift scenario thing.
Oh.
And I mean, they don't like the publicity, and there are some players that think that they, you know, I don't know. It's hard to really put my finger on it. I don't want to be as bold to say that they're going to win every single one of their games, because I really don't believe that's going to be the case. You know, we're easy to judge, you know, and we always make that call at the beginning of the season, but I'm reluctant to sit here and say that.
Gene, they are clicking on all cylinders. I thought when you said conflict, I thought you were going to talk about the open mouth insert foot bite down hard of Butker. Months back, but that team, Andy Reid has a way of dealing with all of that nonsense, and the Chiefs are clicking on all cylinders, and you know, you've got some pretenders like Indianapolis
if I had to take two AFC teams, okay. And I'm going to throw out another example. Even in my opinion, the Bills are slightly better than the Chiefs.
Oh, Gene, if you and I lived in the same area and you were a betting man, oh, would I make a wager with you? Buffalo may not even win their division.
I know they won't win their division.
November 2nd.
What November 2nd?
Kansas City, Buffalo.
And guess where you'll be, Michael?
Yes.
We'll definitely enjoy that game. Buffalo's defense has more holes than Swiss cheese. They are not as good. Not only are they not as good as the Chiefs, they're not as good as they were last year.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
That team revolves around Josh Allen.
But Josh Allen unfortunately,
goes, as Josh Allen goes, so goes Buffalo, I believe.
Yeah, but Michael, what has to happen, and it's a terrible thing to put on a quarterback's shoulders, they have to outscore everybody else. They have to outscore their opponent.
I mean, heck, New England beat Buffalo.
Yeah.
At a time when I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah.
You know, their defense has taken a big step back.
Well, I am kind of looking forward to when the Patriots play the Chiefs at this point.
Doesn't Indianapolis also have a game against the Chiefs this season?
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's our international game, I think.
No, November 23rd.
Because I live in Indianapolis.
The Patriots don't have the Chiefs on their schedule.
Yeah. Well, they will eventually. Is my guess.
If they clash in the playoffs, yeah, they might, who knows, they might be the AFC conference game. That would be interesting.
I listened to the Colts-Chargers game yesterday, and what the Colts did to the Chargers was a head shaker. They ran up and down the field as if the Chargers weren't paying attention. It wasn't as close as even 38-24. And granted, Chargers have a lot of injuries on defense, but Colts, they just ran roughshod over the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh was not a happy
Taylor.
Man. Jonathan Taylor, indeed. Yeah. And Daniel Jones made, you know, just enough passes to keep the Chargers on their heels.
Now that was one of the things I wanted to bring up, guys. We're seeing some players that were kind of, they've been up and down, also ran. I mean, who is Daniel Jones? Where did he emerge from? What rock did he crawl out from under?
The same one Mac Jones crawled out from under.
Speaking of Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, the Jones boys are a whole lot different looking quarterbacks than they were the year before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, look, the 49ers are hanging in there. You know, I mean, I really didn't see them doing as well as they have, to be honest with you.
Kyle Shanahan may be the second best coach in the NFL. What he has done with Staples and a glue gun to keep that defense playing as they are is just a miracle, just amazing.
Yeah, but
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to make the playoffs, but you know,
it's going to be tough. You know, that defense is really held together with baling wire, but. But they sure made Atlanta look like an also-ran last night.
Is he going to run McCaffrey in the ground, though? That, I mean, he did everything but sell popcorn last night.
Well, Brandon Ayuk is coming back. Kittle came back yesterday, so he may not have to.
Okay, so let's see who we have listening right now that would like to participate with us here on Sports Roundtable. So let me ask Cindy if anybody has raised their hand or maybe somebody is about to.
I think I'm unmuted now.
Yes, you are.
Muted up. You know, there's been some Zoom issues today because of Amazon, and I don't know how many people we're going to have on, but they say they're working on it. But I tried to order something right before the call, and I had difficulty. So, let's just see what happens. And I got a message today from Rick. So, I do not see, and we do have people on, but I do not see anybody with their hand up.
When you
Where's
do, just
Kevin.
Oh, okay, Kevin's got his hand raised? All right, yes. Kevin, go ahead. What can we do for you today?
Good morning, folks. Or good afternoon,
good morning, wherever you are.
Hey,
yeah,
Kevin.
Nice. Hey, Miss. And Mr. Reverend, it's a nice windy day here in Colorado. What you said about Kansas City, my brother and I were talking, and my younger brother's big NFL fan, even bigger than me, says he figures as long as they got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you can't cross off Kansas City. It's not anybody I'd want to play in a playoff game.
Because of all the experience they have.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's one of the best coaches and a quarterback who's right on the same page. It's, you know, somebody you just got to,
And what will make it even tougher, and Andy Reid, he really is kind of a Houdini out there. If they make a deal for a real legit running back, because Pacheco isn't one of those. If they get a real running back the next couple of weeks, they really will be unstoppable. Right now, I think Patrick Mahomes is still their leading rusher, which is not a good thing.
No, you don't want your quarterback being your leading rusher.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he puts something together, trade a couple of draft picks for a running back who can take some of the pressure off of Mahomes.
Is
Hunt hurt? Kareem Hunt? Is he hurt?
I don't know that he's hurt, but he's certainly not what he was a couple of years ago. And they're, you know, Hunt's getting some playing time, but he's not the lead back. So that tells you something.
Sorry. You were going to say something?
I was going to say, my guess is that I don't think any of the AFC teams, at least the leading ones, like the Patriots, maybe the Bills, some other teams, they're going to try their best to make sure that they have an edge in the AFC division. I mean, the Colts might have an interest to find, you know, some good running backs. You know, the Patriots need some. Cause I mean, we've got our running game's a little bit better than what it was, but I'd love to see a couple of running backs, cause then they could use people like Diggs as, you know, a wide receiver, an actual dedicated wide receiver. But
Gene Ramondre Stevenson actually had a whole game yesterday without fumbling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
They're not going to make any changes. They've got Stevenson and they've got the,
Henderson.
Henderson. They're set at running back.
They lost Gibson,
but they're okay with the two guys that they have right now. And Buffalo's loaded at running back, and honestly, Indy is not looking for a running back. They're talk about running someone into the ground. They're going to run Taylor into the ground until he gets hurt. And unfortunately, you know, he has that history.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Kevin? I guess not. Okay. Well, Cindy.
I'm
hoping we are having people come through the Hey Lady Alexa, since that's where the problems are. But
all right.
Who knows?
Oh, it's just gonna...
Right now, no.
Okay, thank you.
By the way, Kevin, I should have gone to Vegas over the weekend. Not only was I pretty certain USC would lose to Notre Dame, but I actually picked the score. I said 34-24, and I got that one pegged, sadly, but,
My only comments, actually, Notre Dame tried to keep SC in the game, but they were saying, no, we'll give you the ball right back.
And Lincoln Riley, is getting criticized for a couple of bonehead moves.
Oh, I saw the one.
Oh, please, NFL, somebody take him away from us, please.
Well, Riley? Florida and Florida State are looking for coaches. Go there.
Yeah, please, please.
But the guy I wanted to ask you and Kevin about, Mitch, was Miller Moss.
He's doing all right.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And, I actually think Maiava the guy that came in last year is better than Moss. But, you know, the guy that started his career at USC and who almost took the Giants to that win over Denver yesterday, Justin Dart, started at USC, played his first couple seasons here.
Jackson Dart. I remember him.
Justin Dart. Donna and I were speculating that we wonder if that was his grandson, Jackson is grandson. Jackson Dart is going to be a very, very good NFL quarterback, but he did start at USC.
Yeah, well, they got the week off, so let's see what happens after that. But
indeed. Take care, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
You got it, guys.
Well, the NBA starts this week, so we're looking forward to another eventful season, I'm thinking.
Marquee game tomorrow night.
Yes.
I trust you don't mean the Lakers and Warriors.
No. No, the Houston Rockets and Oklahoma City.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
It'll be interesting. Well, I don't know, but it'll be interesting. Our new $90 million man is going to play against his old team, Kevin Durant. He signed a two-year $90 million contract yesterday.
Michael,
tell you what, Houston's going to make a lot of noise this year. And of course, Ime Udoka is a coach that I think we, in the back of our minds, are sorry that the Celtics let go.
Yeah.
Michael, do you want to set an over-under date as to when Kevin Durant will start complaining about whatever it is Kevin Durant typically complains about every season or so?
Which is?
No, I would hesitate to do that.
What do you expect Kevin Durant to complain about, Mitch?
I don't know, Bob, but Kevin Durant has complained at every stop he's made in the NBA. He seems to be one of those guys, you know, they talk about wide receivers in football being prima donnas. To me, Kevin Durant's prima donna. And at some point this season, he's going to complain about something.
You know, he's my guy because he went to the University of Texas. For 1 year, of course, but he has really, you know, I like the fact that he's won some championships, but he really has been, to me, a little unstable because he jumped around to so many teams.
Yep. Michael, the year Kevin Durant played at Texas, in fact, I think Kevin, we were on a cruise. We were on a day cruise off of Honolulu. And we were just able to listen to, I think it was an NCAA tournament game, and USC beat Texas and Kevin Durant. Made Kevin and I very happy that particular day. Maybe you remember that game. I don't know if you do or not, but that was the year that Durant did play at Texas and USC beat him.
Yes. He was only there 1 year. He was one year. And done.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they're talking about the National Basketball League playoffs, and I think it's going to be a crapshoot in the East. We're looking for maybe New York, Orlando, and probably, New York, Orlando, and maybe Cleveland to be the top three in the East. How do you guys feel about that?
Boston slipped that far?
Yeah,
I can't even highly recognize Boston.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm.
In fact, I don't even think they figured it out yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
well, they got their core coming back, right?
Well, they got White, Pritchard, and Brown coming back. After that, who are we talking about? Hauser and Cater and Tillman and Pritchard. Well, Pritchard's one of the three I mentioned originally. So, but they don't know who's going to start in the middle. Their forwards are like. Well, maybe Brown and Hauser, but it wouldn't shock me if Tillman was one of them.
I don't have a lot of confidence in the Celtics this year, to be honest with you. I mean, I maybe with the new ownership, things will change.
Well, what would the new ownership do that would affect what the general manager and the coach does?
I don't know. Maybe they may look for different players as the season goes in, but I'm not optimistic this year. I think the Celtics, you know, were like a one-hit wonder. That was their one game that they were going to do and, you know, get right, you know.
I think they'll be lucky to be in the top 10 in the East.
They may make the playoffs, but they just won't go all the way.
I hate to admit this. I am one of those basketball fans, and I think Peter talked about it last year about this time. I'm one of those basketball fans who won't pay attention.
Same.
Until next year, till baseball.
Right after Valentine's Day.
NFL is done. I don't even recognize half the players on the Lakers this year, and I haven't yep. even looked at their roster. There's just so much movement. There is no loyalty.
They need at least 40 games under their belt.
Yeah. So I have no clue who's going to do what in the NBA this season.
You know, Mitch, if most basketball fans feel the way that you and Peter do about not really paying attention to the NBA until mid to late season, then that farce of a tournament that they have in November and December means even less, because either you're going to follow basketball at the beginning or you're not. And I don't think that ridiculous tournament will help stimulate the casual basketball fan.
You are so right, Bob. And it'd be interesting to see this year. This will be the third year of that tournament.
I believe so.
You see what happens to the ratings. I mean, the people who actually follow that, they must be diehards. They must be folks who don't have any other interests, sports interests or any other interests to follow that nonsense of a tournament.
Here's the thing though, Mitch, if you're already a diehard basketball fan, the tournament is not designed to stimulate you. The whole point of the tournament, from what I understand, is to make more people watch basketball earlier.
Yeah.
That means that if you're already a diehard, you don't need it. You're already a diehard. Well, and if you're not a diehard, you're not going to be one anyway.
Your guy, Ime Udoka, was hyping it on an interview last night. So
what was he hyping?
He was hyping the tournament.
I'm glad he likes it.
And do the players need another $1 million? Isn't that what the first place the players of the team that wins get? Something like $1 million. That's pocket change for most of these guys.
The tournament is not going to make or break the basketball fan, one way or the other.
I'll tell you something I've heard, and I don't exactly like it. I've heard people talk the same way about college basketball as we all are talking about the NBA, that they don't care until March or at least the conference tournaments. Now me, I can't get behind that. I'm too much of a UConn Huskies fan. I'm not planning to miss their game on November 4th in Germany, you know, by way of the internet, you know, and I'm going to follow them, you know, from beginning to end, whether they go to the Final Four or whether they don't.
I have been one of the few USC basketball fans since I started following USC football. And the problem, I think, with, you know, again, and I'll stay off the transfer portal soapbox, is it becomes harder and harder to follow college basketball when teams have a significant turnover every year. I think that this year, for example, the men's team, there isn't going to be but one or two guys who were on the team last year. And so it's really hard. You know, that's you have to be so wedded to your team that you'll follow them and you'll learn who the new players are and you'll look their stats up at whatever school they were at previously. But
yeah.
But the tournament's going to expand again from what it is now to from 68 to what, 76 or
I heard about this. Yes,
some crazy and number.
Truthfully, Mitch, if I knew how to locate what any new UConn players have been doing, I would already have done it. I just don't know how to do that.
How are those 76 teams going to play themselves out? I mean, with 68, playing game.
There'll be 12. What is it? 24. That work out right. Yeah. There'll be 24 teams from 53 down to 76 that will have play-in games, and obviously there'll be more than one play-in game. I think that's how it's going to work.
Yeah, but, I think so.
Well, that would be 12 play-in games.
Bob, you have 8 minutes.
Thank you, Cindy.
Sorry to interrupt.
Okay, that's all right. That would be 12 play-in games altogether, I think.
Bob, what are your thoughts on seeing Brad Marchand with the Panthers this week?
Well, I'm very happy for Brad Marchand with that, because the Bruins had the kahunas to trade him, that he ended up winning a Stanley Cup. I mean, how much more luck can a player have?
Well, he didn't play when he was traded because he was still injured last year. So it's going to be interesting to see him. It's going to be interesting seeing him play at home and what the fans react to.
You know, Gene, the Panthers and the Bruins are in the same boat. The Bruins won their first three. They lost their next four. I think the Panthers did pretty much the same thing, didn't they? The Panthers are, 3-4 also?
I think so.
Now, the Kings have gotten off to a mediocre start. We're 1-3-2. And,
are they still not on radio? Are they still internet only?
Well, they're on our 710 station out here. If the Lakers aren't playing or if USC isn't playing, it's a little hard to find it. I am thankful that I have Sirius XM because, that's how I heard, probably half the games last
season. Yeah.
Gene, the Panthers are tied with the Bruins. They're both 3-4.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see Brad Marchand play though. Tomorrow night. Yeah.
And the Islanders are on a college station, for the love of Mike, and have been for the last several years. They're on the Hofstra University, 88 point something or another. So, as you said, Sirius really is the best approach.
Well, that does kind of shed light on a trend, though, not so much the college station, but more and more pro teams are going over to FM stations.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure why. The Chargers in the NFL, they actually left the FM station they were on last year to come back or come to KFI. I'm not sure why that happened, but there are a lot of NBA and NHL teams apparently that are now on FM.
And the Yankees and the Texas Rangers and the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the sound is sweet on FM. It's sweeter, especially if you got good headset on the computer, but it's still pretty sweet on FM. And there are some others that I can't name right now, but those are the ones I could think of without breathing too hard.
I'm glad I'm able to find the baseball playoffs on ESPN radio. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you live outside of that FM signal, you're SOL though.
Cool. No.
I mean, unless you have Sirius XM.
And as for ESPN radio, I'm not wild about some of those guys. They have broadcasting their games.
I never really listened to
Eduardo Perez.
Oh, he's okay.
I never really listened to the National League, the national feeds ever. When it comes to like NFL, NBA, I never listen to the national feeds.
Oh, the NFL, the Kevins are fantastic. Kurt Warner is probably, now that Hank Stram has gone, he is probably the best color analyst, on the national feeds. There are some really good, guys doing the NFL games.
If Warner's the best, who does he work with so I can listen to him?
Who?
Kurt Warner.
Warner?
Is he with Kevin?
He may be on, and I'm trying to remember, because there are two Kevins when I get them confused. There's one of the Kevins sounds like,
Kevin Coogler.
Like, yeah, one of them sounds, is a spitting image. Donna thought when she first heard him, it was Marv Albert. One of the Kevins sounds like Marv Albert.
Yes, that'll be Kevin Harlan.
Kevin Harlan. Warner may be on tonight with Harlan on one of those games.
Well, we got game 7, but I'll try and catch him because I was a big fan of Hank Stram as a color commentator.
So was I. Yeah.
Game 7 tonight. Mariners Blue Jays.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss that for all the money in the world.
I'd like to see the Mariners. I mean, I predicted them, but also, yeah, they have never, ever participated in a World Series, and they've been in the league for 48 years.
Yeah.
And you know, it's about time.
I'm with you, Bob. I'd like to see the Mariners go all the way. I don't want to see another Dodgers.
And I heard your reasons earlier, Gene. You know, and, it's all about getting a fresh team.
Win or lose, if you listen to my podcast, you'll be able to hear one Dave Niehaus highlight I brought out of the archive specifically for this episode. Even if they lose, I'm still going to use it.
Yep. So.
Well, just going to have to wait and see what happens. If the Blue Jays win, the World Series starts in Toronto. If Seattle wins, the World Series starts in L.A.
Well, if it is Toronto, I want to see Ohtani hit the 469-foot home run that almost cleared Dodger Stadium. I'd like to know where that would end up at the Rogers Center since it's an indoor stadium. So I wonder.
Probably on
a
catwalk. Do they have catwalks at Rogers Stadium like they do in Tampa Bay?
Probably.
Well, it's built connected to a hotel. I think there are hotel rooms you can open your curtains and see the field from the hotel. So I'm wondering if a home run of that length might
go through a window.
A hotel. Yeah.
It could. Now that you mention it, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, it's that time. I think we're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you all for being with us. Gene, thanks for filling in for Peter. Peter, we miss you. Good luck in Mexico. Have a few tacos for us. And we'll see you hopefully next week or soon after that. Thank you, Herbie. Thank you, Cindy. And thank you to everybody who participated today. Go safe with God's abundant blessings. Talk to you soon.